Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Knoxville man has lived an incredible life, a heroic life. His plane shot down in World War II, a prisoner of war for 11 weeks with multiple military commendations, including France's Legion of Honor. He watched historic Kenlock Stadium being built and played on Knoxville's first football team. And tonight, Knoxville's homecoming, he's honorary captain of the football team. Let's go in depth with Chuck Walter from Knoxville. So, Chuck, when were you born?
I was born in May 26, 1923.
Here in Knoxville?
No, I was born in Pershing. Uh-huh. And I came by here, and I was 8 years old when I came here. And I was here ever since. I went to high school here, graduated from high school, went to the service, was in the Air Force, got shot down on my 25th mission and taken prisoner of war. And I spent 11 weeks as a prisoner of war. Walked 150 miles in 17 days, forced march when we were there. When I bailed out of the airplane, I got shot at. I could hear the bullets going by me. So, but I made it back okay. And when I came back, I started working for the post office, and I worked 35 years for the post office, and 10 years as a postmaster, and I've been retired since 1980, which is, I've been retired longer than I worked, which is a good deal.
Where were you shot down?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You're shot down on Valentine's Day, and where at?
I was in Germany.
Okay.
Yeah, we were shot down, and I was lucky enough. I got burned when, here's a picture of my plane. I got burned when I was a tail gunner, and I got burned before I got out of the plane. Not bad, but enough, and I bailed out, and I got shot at on the way down. I could hear the bullets going by, but I was lucky enough that I didn't get hit. And all six of us got out of the plane, but three of us bailed out, and three of them went down with the plane. And my pilot died 3 days later from a broken neck. And it was kind of uneventful from there, except we had so many prisoners walking from Nuremberg to Moosburg. I sat up on the hill at Nuremberg in prison camp in a bright morning. And our plane started bombing Nuremberg, and when they left, it was completely overcast from vapor trails. They left, and the British started coming in, and they firebombed them. And if I remember right, there was 225,000 people were killed at Nuremberg that day. They just wiped them out. I had three missions that I was still bothering me. One of them was, we went in, Cherbourg Peninsula was cut off, and we were trying to get into the sub pens there, and they called us and said they needed some help, so we loaded up four 500-pound bombs to go in and help them. We got there, and they had already broken the roadblock, so we turned to come back, and as we did, we got hit. But we had no idea why, where or why, but we made it back to the base, and when we tried to land, our nose wheel wouldn't come down, which gave us we landed at 150 miles an hour, and when we hit the runway, we shut the engines off and coasted clear to the end and tipped it over, and got out and run around in front, and I picked up my pilot and gave him a big hug, and there just happened to be an Associated Press reporter there, and he wrote it down and got it and sent it back to the United States, and my wife started getting clippings from all over, but I told her not to worry, I was flying milk runs. But she realized that I wasn't telling the truth. And then the second one was when I was during the Battle of the Bulge, when the Germans were retreating. They were pinned up against the Rhine River, and we went to bomb them, and it was 36-ship formation. And the first trip we made around, R-18 didn't drop the bombs. So we went on around and come back the second time, and all our anti-aircraft were shooting at 18 planes instead of 36, or 54, I mean. And we got back, and I had 129 holes in my plane. And that one still bothers me. But sure. And then the last one was when I got shot down the Moroggan Bridge. And we just started in and took a hit in our left engine and started on fire. And so we had to leave the formation. We couldn't keep up. And every time we did evasive action, we lose several thousand feet, and got down to 1,500, and they told us, the pilot pushed the button, we bailed out. And that's when I got, they shot at me on the way down. But I made it okay down, and we came together about 2 days later, and we were at a place in just a pasture. And they were interrogating us, taking our dog tags. And a Red Cross truck pulled in, and I don't know why, but I went over and opened the door, and there was our three officers, and two of them were unconscious. But I got just to say hi to the other one and tell him it was all right before I got drug away from that. And I went to four different places where they just kept us moving. They didn't want to let us get liberated. They were keeping us for some kind of bargaining material.
The Germans.
In Germany. And when we finally make it to Moosburg, and that's where we went to bed one night. We knew that they were close, so we'd see the fire, gun flashes, and got up the next morning, and all the fences had been run down by the tanks, and that turned all of us loose. And it was really a mess, because there's no authority for maybe 5 or 6 days. They finally got the thing set up. And we went there, and they liberated us on the 29th of April. And that was about a week or 10 days after the president died. And we went to Reims, France. We were going through Reims, France, when they signed the armistice. And it was my dad's birthday and Harry Truman's birthday. And we made it to Camp Lucky Strikes. We got to Camp Lucky Strike, and we stayed there a couple of weeks. All we did was drink eggnogs and play cards. And we made it back, come back on an Italian freighter that had been captured. And we went into the New York Harbor and went by the Statue of Liberty. And we had all kinds of ships around us spraying water all over. Got to the dock, and the whole dock was full of women. When we got off the boat, and I got to call my wife, and I came back to Fort Leonardburg, down in Missouri, and then to Des Moines, and then back here. And they gave me 6 months temporary duty here at home. And I went back in October in 45 and got my discharge. So I'm here.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chuck Walter. Now, you were on the first Knoxville football team.
Yes, I was in 11th grade, and I was a substitute. But then I grew up for the senior year, and I can remember we pretty much dominated Pella all during my high school, and we beat Pella 8-0 the first my junior year.
What year was that?
Junior year in 1940. It'd be 39 and 40. And the 40 and 41, I grew up. I was 6'2 and weighed 174 pounds. And I played left end and running back for that team. And we didn't win the conference in football, but we were especially good in basketball. We did win the conference in basketball. Went through districts, and finally got beat by Centerville in basketball. But I can remember that's an old city pond is where our stadium is, and I can remember going swimming there. It was a filthy place, but it didn't make any difference. People was swimming there, and. My buddy, I finally worked with. He owned the ice house across the road from it, and they cut ice off of the pond that the stadium where the stadium was. So it was really interesting to watch. I lived just two blocks from the stadium when they started working on it.
You watched it being built then.
Oh, yes. A lot of times I go down and just watch the... they had WPA was the government-sponsored program to keep us working.
What was the community feeling about the stadium when it was being built?
They thought it was a real good deal because they'd been trying to get rid of the pond in the first place, and they didn't know what they was going to do with it. And... I don't know who it was or what administration it was, but they decided that would be a good place. There was nothing but a great big ravine, even all the way down, even where the station is now. It probably 10 or 15 foot fill in there, clear down to the VFW. That whole area in there was not much... good as far as that's going, but they filled it in, and so after they filled it in, I don't know how long it took, but I kept watching them, and it finally got it done, and it was really a feather in Knoxville, and it's been, and I don't know of any other stadium that is. Like ours, nobody's got a sunken stadium that I know of, and they've just been taking real good care of it now. And I'm real happy with them. And the city of Knoxville has been very good to me and my family. I'm going to have to bring this up, but I don't know. My daughter graduated in 1964, this is her 50th, and she was Miss Iowa, Miss Knoxville, and she went off to be first runner-up to Miss Iowa, and she's going to be back, so I'll be happy to see her.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chuck Walter.
Well, and your honorary captain.
Well, I really don't know what's going on. But I got my son and his wife, Annette Grimes, has been a real good friend of mine. And I worked with her at the post office. And she's kind of head of this. And I understand that they're going to come and get me and take me down in the stadium in a car and then get a, they've got a little cart that they motorize, what do you call them?
Golf cart,
that's what, and they said they'd take me out to the, and I can take the football out and present it to the starters, football. And I think we should play Saddell. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know what their record is or anything, whether we got a good chance of beating them or not. But the boys seem to be playing pretty good.
I bet you'll enjoy that game.
Yeah. Now, the year of 41, it was a beautiful day. We had a parade. We started the parade at 11 o'clock in the morning and came back. And by the time we started our football game, the temperature had dropped terrifically. Maybe you remember the armistice. Well, I don't think you do. The Armistice Day storms.
I've heard about them.
Killed a lot of the duck hunters down on the Mississippi. And we played Sheraton. And we beat them 6-0, and but it was sleet and rain, and just can't believe how it changed so quick. It changed. We had another episode. We had Lincoln was down here to play football, and we battled them to a 0-0 tie, and some of the fellows weren't very happy in the upset cars, and some guys got thrown in jail. So we had, and that's here in Knoxville. So it's one of those things.
Do you have any advice for the guys playing football from their honorary captain?
Yeah, the advice is don't make any mistakes and don't try to do it all yourself, because you've got other guys there that's what they're there for. Is to help you.
Well, thank you, Chuck. We'll see you at the game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks to Chuck Walter for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.